I love this passage from 1 Corinthians 15. All of 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 58 verses, is all about the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the saints. And so it's the perfect passage to use for this Sunday, where we close out our Apostles' Creed, when we talk about, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body. At one point or another, I think every believer, every person, asks a question and ponders, what happens when we die? And this especially, I think, is true of believers. We ask this question, what happens when we die? What will happen when I die? And I think a common thought that a lot of people have is that death is going to be, at least to some degree, a good separation. That when we die, our body will go in the ground, or the ashes will go in the urn, or something to that degree, and my spirit will rise up and enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ. And that is certainly true. But I think a lot of us have this thought that that's the end of it, that that's the end of the story, that there's nothing else beyond that, that for eternity my spirit will simply be with Jesus and my body will be in the ground. Now the Corinthians have a thought similar to that, and Paul wants to address this thought that they have in this letter that he writes to this church. See, the Corinthian church is a church that's living as believers, as Christians, as a young a body of believers in a Greek world. And as a people living amongst the Greeks, they're surrounded by Greek philosophy and Greek thought. Now, one of the thoughts that the Greeks believed is that our bodies, and to some degree, all of the material world, all matter, is inherently evil. It's inherently bad. They also believe then that the spirit or the soul is inherently good. And so to them, death was breaking free of this thing that is evil, that is bad. Death is your spirit being released from a prison of something evil. And so because of this, resurrection, the idea of resurrection was kind of crass. It was a little bit grotesque. And as this Christian church is experiencing, the Greeks around them are a little bit appalled by the fact that they would be worshiping a man who was raised from the dead. Why would you want to worship somebody who went back into something that is inherently bad? And so the Corinthian church is struggling with this. And we can, reading between the lines, we assume that they do have a faith in Jesus. They believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But when it comes to their own resurrection, and when it comes to them and when they die and what will happen to them as they die, they believe that the soul who has faith in Jesus, who enjoys the forgiveness of sins at death, will simply escape the body. And their spirit will rise up to be with Jesus and live in some eternal, blessed state. Now, certainly, for the believer, for a Christian, for a person whose faith is in Jesus, death is an escape. It's an escape from this world of sin. And when the believer dies, they are freed from this world of sin and are in a state of peace and bliss that we will never know until that happens to us. But the scriptures bear out that God wants more than that. God wants rescue. He wants redemption. He wants a total restoration. He wants new creation. And Revelation speaks about this. When St. John has the vision that is Revelation, he sees a new heaven and a new earth. A new creation. Something new. And so in the Creed, we have this statement about the resurrection of the body. It's not talking about the resurrection of Jesus' body. It's talking about the resurrection of your body. Spirit and body rejoin. And Corinthians in Paul speaks about this. So, but Paul says that none of the things that God intends for us to have, this new creation, the new heaven, the new earth, it doesn't happen if there is no resurrection. And here's his argument. Paul argues to the Corinthians, you know, how can you believe this if this happened? Or how can you believe this if this happened? And so what he says is, listen, if you believe that there's no resurrection of the dead, then following your logic, you have to believe also that Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, there's no resurrection of Jesus. Now sit and think about that for a moment. Of what faith is like if Jesus is not raised from the dead. If there is no Easter Sunday. Because Paul says you can't have one without the other. There are two sides of the same coin. The resurrection of the body, your body, is connected to the resurrection of Jesus. And if there's no resurrection of your body, then what you're saying is that there's no resurrection at all and Jesus himself is not raised. Imagine Easter week, the fun that is Palm Sunday and the kids bringing the palms as Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem. And then you move into Maundy Thursday when Jesus is having instituting the Lord's Supper with his disciples and washes their feet and then is betrayed by Judas Iscariot and arrested. Imagine then going into Good Friday where Jesus goes through the suffering, the trials, the pains, and finally the crucifixion and the death. Imagine the story ended there. That's what Paul is inviting his readers to do. To imagine that the story ends there. Because, Paul says, if the story ends there, the victory Christ wins is incomplete. In fact, it's not a victory at all. If the cross is the last word, Christ was defeated. End of story. And he goes on to say that, and if that's the end of story, then the same is going to be true for us. If Christ has no victory, then we have no victory. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, Paul says, then what am I doing here? I can't be preaching. Everything I'm saying is a lie. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, then your faith is useless. You might as well just give this up. There's no point in coming to church if Christ isn't raised from the dead. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, Paul says, then you are still in your sins. They have not been defeated. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then when you die in your sins. And you perish. Death has the victory. The Creed says, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The Scriptures bear this out because the Creed is based on the Scriptures. Scriptures will say that the separation of body and spirit isn't a good thing. Scriptures talk about death as an enemy. an enemy to be conquered. Sin condemns the whole person, body and soul. One isn't inherently evil. One isn't inherently good. They're created good by God, but utterly and fully corrupted by sin. In Adam, we all die. Sin condemns the whole person, body and soul, but the full gospel is that God, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, saves both body and soul. Saves the whole person. Christ's victory in the resurrection is so absolute and is so pervasive that it's going to spill into all believers in Christ, so that at the last day when Jesus returns and the trumpet sounds, you will be made new. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like. But the dead in Christ will be raised to life and join him. And our being will be like Christ's being. Christ was raised in the body, so you too will be raised in the body. Paul speaks of Christ's resurrection as the first fruits. It's a perfect illustration for this harvest time of the year. Right now, farmers are going out, they're taking a little bit off the field, and they're getting some of the first fruits of their harvest. And in that, they're hoping and thinking, man, this year is going to be great. There's a lot more harvest to come. Jesus, in his resurrection, is the first fruits. And the implication there is that there is a great harvest to come. And that harvest is you in your resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body, your body, is the rejoining, the recreating of body and spirit on the last day. And it's the culmination, the finality of the victory Jesus wins for us on Easter Sunday. It's the complete and utter defeat of sin and death, and with it, we can sing these words that Paul sings at the end of this chapter. Words that I've said almost over almost every grave at the graveside. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death is snatched away by God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.